Hi everyone, my name is Iran, I'm a real alcoholic.
Hi.
My sobriety dates, February 27, 2009, if I make it to the end of the month, I'm 14 years, that's a blessing and a journey of extraordinaire for me. Let's see, I have a sponsor. Who knows he's my sponsor, which is super important for a guy like me. That means he knows about the truth about me, whether I'm being crazy or whether I'm being right, but how to get to the truth about who I am. I have the privilege of taking other people through the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, and it's an honor for Steve Rocco, if you hear me, that you invited me here but didn't show up. I ain't talking about it. Anyway, goodness. All right, let's see. I'm a member of many groups. I just became the intergroup rep for my home group. I also work in the Wakefield Campfire Conference. I do a lot of different things. And I'm not just saying this to give this long speech of what I do. I just want you to know that I want to live. And I stay here and I give back to the program that gave me a life. I was a guy who got here with nothing. And today I have a life beyond my wildest dream that's better than any life I ever could imagine out there. And so I just like to stay here, because this is where I live. My birthday is January 4th, 1975. I was born black, in case you can't see. And I am gay, so be prepared for that. If you have a problem with that, please talk to your sponsor. If you don't have one, I'll talk to you afterwards. All right, let's see. My mom was 15 years old when she had me. She walked me over to my grandmother and said, "This is your child. Have him." And all I ever wanted was the love of my mother. I have a brother and a sister that my mother raised, but I just wanted the love of my mother. My grandmother is the most amazing, wonderful woman in the world. She took care of me. She loved me. She cared for me. She gave me and sent them the best life. I had a computer before computers were in a lot of people's homes. Like, she was trying to direct me in this amazing life. And all I ever wanted, just like the true alcoholic I was something else. I never was okay with where I was at. I wanted to be like, that's not good enough for me. But my mom lived a whole different life, and she raised the two children she had with her in a different way, right? But I was given a blessed life, and I just still chased it for a long time. But I didn't drink when I was in high school or earlier than that, because I was raised at a different time. Like, my mom would be like, if I would have came home drunk, she would have made me go get a switch from like that tree and then whip me with it. So instead, I did one time, I went and got a branch thinking she wasn't gonna whip me, and she just whipped me with it, so I never did anything else weird again. And so I was 19 years old. I like Bill's story talks about, he was out to war, right? And then he had camaraderie and laughter and all at last. He had arrived, people welcomed him into his home, and he had arrived, and in the midst of that, he discovered liquor, and that just really happened for me. I just come out of the closet. Well, I was already out, because I was pretty gay. And then I was free to be that way, right? And so I was in college, and I was like having a good time. I met some friends, they invited me into their home. We were having a good time. In the midst of all that, someone handed me a screwdriver, and I remember it. Like, I never thought about what happened until after it happened. Like, my brain is always like, I am good enough, I'm not good enough. Be my friend, don't be my friend. Get close, don't get too close. I like you, I don't like you. Oh my God, right? That's like how my brain works. And then all of a sudden, I went, yeah, you're funny, you're cute. You know, like, I mean, I could just be fantastically on. And then all of a sudden, I woke up in my favorite place, which is that cool, cold place next to the toilet. I don't know about you, but I love that place. Like, that's where I love waking up there. And I remember waking up, my mouth was all dry, my eyes were burning, the top of my head was on fire. Like, I was just in pain. And I remember my first thought was, I can't wait till I do that again. I did learn later in Alcoholics Anonymous, most people would not want to do that again, and they would proceed never, but I chased it because I love the effect produced by alcohol. You know, and like for me, like in the big book, it talks about, in the Doctors of Pain, it says, irritable, restless, and discontented unless they can again gain a sense. And I was like, for a long time, I didn't realize what that sentence says. Unless they can again gain a sense of ease and comfort that comes at once. That's what I always chased, was a sense. I never actually wanted actual comfort. I just wanted a sense, something to change the way I feel immediately, because I'm not one who can deal with anything that isn't come immediately. If it takes time, I don't know about that. That's a little stupid. I'm fantastic, I need to change now. And that's what I wanted, to change the way I feel now. And that's what I did really quickly for me. Like, I did it, and when I started drinking, I was one that was all in. There was no, like, let's pretend not to drink. It was like, let's go in and be fabulous about it. And as soon as I did, all the things that I hated about other people just quickly became how I live. Lying, cheating, stealing, you know, talking down to people, being mean and evil and disgusting. And I got in a little trouble. And so I realized that Virginia was the problem. You know, it's not me. Virginia's stupid, right? Let's go. I'm gonna get so far away from Virginia that my parents just, I don't have to deal with them anymore. So I moved all the way to Portland, Oregon. Now I will tell you, I love Portland, Oregon. Portland, Oregon is one of the most fantastic cities I've ever been to. And I've been to a lot of them. Now Portland, Oregon has more parks per capita than anywhere else in the United States. Has more bridges per capita than anywhere else in the United States. It has more porn stars per capita than anywhere else in the United States. If you're wondering, it's about to get dirty. Just letting you know. All right, but I mean, like, but that's where, you know, like, it was just this amazing, beautiful city. It has the best transit system in the country. Like, it had a lot of things going for it, and I got there, and I got this amazing job. I was a guy, I had to have a job quickly. And it was during a time when finding a job was really easy, so I got this job at this amazing, amazing hotel. Now, it was $20 a night. And $25 a night if you wanted a TV, all right? That's, you know, that's what we were working with, right? So I was the night auditor at this hotel, right? And I was like, all I had to do was like read over paper, maybe sign somebody in. If you didn't, we let you go out and find your money, you know, and if you found your money, you come back, right? Pay it, and you're fine. If you don't pay your bill in a couple of days, I go check on the room. That's how simple this job really is. So I go, guy, he doesn't like, you know, pay his bill. So I go up to his room after a couple of days. I knock on the door, no answer. Knock on the door again, still no answer. I use my key, I open the door. The guy's sitting with his back to me, no shirt on, looking out the window. And I'm like, hello? Hello? And then I knew. I just knew he was dead. Right there, looking out the window with a needle in his arm. And I know this is a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. I understand it's a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, but I just want to let you know that alcohol is a great persuader. Alcohol will take me to places I said I will never do. I end up doing things, laying next to people, naked in weird places, just because I said I won't do it. Alcohol will persuade me that it's okay. It'll be different. You're not that bad. You know what I mean? And I, you know, and so after my third dead body, it was time for me to leave. Found a new job. That was a good take more. And so I found another, you know, another job. And now I'm a guy. I'm a conservative guy. I'm a middle class American when middle class is a real thing, right? And so what happened to me was real, real fantastic. I had finally arrived. I got a job at a gay male strip club. For a guy like me, it was fantastic, right? Yeah, like it was super. I was a janitor, and then I was a cook, and then they taught me how to be a DJ. Then they taught me how to like be an event planner, and they're like, now you're gonna be the MC. And I was a bartender. And then as the MC though, right, I had these rules about drinking, right? Never, never drink on the job, ever. You're a real alcoholic if you drink on the job, right? Like I knew that, like, right? So I get there and now I'm the MC and I'm like, now coming to the stage, it's Sexual Chocolate. And they're like, Iran, you know that you can have a drink, right? And I was like, what? They're like, yeah. And I was like, oh. I'm like, now, come to the stage, it's Sexual Chocolate. Woo, yeah. You know what I mean? I had arrived. A job that allowed me to drink the way I wanted to drink, I was there, you know what I mean? And I lived there for a long time until alcohol stopped working. You know, and what it stopped doing was, it stopped the, I'm not good enough, I am good enough. Be my friend, don't be my friend. Get close, don't get too close. I like you, I don't like you. I needed more and more, and I'm drinking more, and I wasn't doing anything. And I was doing a lot of things to try to change the way I feel, and none of it was working. And I was like, all right, maybe I need to go to a meeting. So I went to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, and I went there, right? And I didn't remember anything. Like, I don't remember anything except for one thing that they said there, and they said, it's okay to hurt here. And I remember bawling. Like a baby, crying. Like that blubber, snot, bubble, cry, you know? Cry, like I didn't, but I was like, why am I crying? And I didn't know. First of all, I didn't know I was hurting. Second of all, I didn't know I needed to be told it was okay to hurt. See, I don't know the truth about myself a lot. I don't know it unless you guys like, show me, God works through you to show me this thing. things, right? And so I was in that meeting and you guys said, you know what, you need to do what we do. And I said, all right, I'm on board to do what you guys do. You said, get a book, and I got a book. And I put them on shelves because they're prettier on shelves. I don't know about who reads, really. But on the shelf, look at it. Oh, turn it over and put something on it, right? See, even that's what I do with. And then you were like, get a sponsor. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute, too much. Calm down, Loretta. What do you mean, find some sponsor? You're like, either like, you gotta find someone. And you guys do weird things. You guys have like these double things in Alcoholics Anonymous. You're like, don't judge people, but stick with the winners. How do you stick with the winners without judging? I mean, how? But you know what I'm saying? You just, I don't get it. I know, but you know, you sit and you're like, ah, that's why we're so crazy. But the truth is, it's not like, you've got to watch people. See what they're doing, right? Then, you know, it's because I watched you. You don't tell me when I was standing in Walmart waiting for my friend to show up. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? And I was standing there and I watched everybody. I could tell, that's a good person. That person's living life. That's not living right, right? You know, but I don't go, they're horrible. I just go, how you're living. It's not even judgment. It's like, I want to be with those kinds of people. You're asking me to pick people to be with that are living the way I want to start living. And so I was like, but that's not how I heard it. What I heard was, you're not cool enough. You need to go look in the mirror. Oh my God, what are you wearing? Oh my God, have you even been to an AA meeting this week? You know what I mean? Like, and then I'm like, oh, you play the piano, I sing. Let's call it sponsorship. And that's what we did for 2 years in Alcoholics Anonymous. My sponsor played the piano, I sang. We didn't go through one single step, right? We just hung out. And that's what we did. And it was good for a while, you know, like it kept me, you know, like I went to meetings, we sang, we ate ice cream, we coffee, and that's it. And then I'm still working in a bar. I'm still, you know, I'm like, God, you know, I'm hanging out in a barbershop. Sooner or later, you're going to get a haircut. One day. I'm not good enough. I am good enough. Be my friend. Don't be my friend. Get close. Don't get too close. I like you. I don't like you. Cool, cold place next to the toilet. Loved it. So relieving. And then, you know, I did that for a while. And now this time, I'm now the general manager of the number one club in the state of Oregon. We sell more liquor than anywhere else. I'm just telling you, gay people drink a lot. Don't worry about it. And I'm all like, I don't know. And people like, but I'm not. But, you know, I will tell you that this was my idea, right? I made this place the best place ever. I pour my heart, sweat. No, I was pretty much handed a freaking perfect little place, and all I had to do was babysit it. But in my mind, I'm the best, right? And so what happened to me was simple. I would get grandiose and I had to party. I like to have a good time, you know what I mean? And so on this one time, I had four days I'd been up. All I had to do was go to bed. I don't know if anybody ever done this, but you know, have you ever told yourself, I'm going to go to bed, right? I'm going to walk out this place and I'm going to bed. I'm not going to get nothing else. I'm going to go straight home and go to bed. Nothing's going to stop me. For the beginning of the day, I'm going home, I'm going to bed. From the middle of the day, I'm going home to go to bed. I'm playing out, but this is before Uber, so I couldn't call an Uber. I had to call the cab. I called the cab to be right there when I'm ready and waiting. I'm going. I'm walking out the door. I'm about to open the door to the cab and squirrel. Hey, baby, what's up? You know what I mean? Like, all of a sudden, I was almost there. Squirrel. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. What's up? So, this guy, we get in the cab, we go to this, anybody remember Blockbuster Video? Yeah, you remember how big they were? Yeah, imagine three of those, but it's all dirty magazines and videos and stuff. It's just that big, right? So they have like little booths. And so me and Squirrel, we go to the little booth, right? And we're in there. And I'm like, I'm getting ready to go. We got our video. We're going to go do something. And I was black, just black, absolutely black. Don't remember anything. I remember waking up and I go, where am I? But then I remembered I was at the porn store, right? Then I'm like, okay. And I'm like, all right. I started feeling around. I started moving stuff because it's pitch black in the place, right? And I'm looking around. Then I realized that I have no wallet, no keys, no pants, no shoes, no socks. I'm naked in a porn store. And I'm like, what am I gonna do, right? I'm like, there's nothing. Like, I have nothing. And so I'm about to, and I'm like, and then I'm, I don't know what to do. Like, that's what's going on in my head. So I'm like, I gotta walk out. I'm like, here we go. So I'm walking out, covered all my junk. And the lady's like, oh my God. I'm like, no, no, stop, stop. And we're playing this game because I'm like, I was playing. I was like, the guy wrong me. I have no clothes. No. So then this is, so they feel pity on me and they give me some shorts. And then this lady, this officer comes in. I'm sorry. This officer is there. He's the handsomest officer I've ever seen in my life. I mean, of all days, right? The most handsomest officer in my life is there. And he's taking this and he's giggling. Like he's trying to take it. And I'm, you know what I mean? I'm like, this is so embarrassing. And so I'm like, imagine this, right? Up for 4 days, I know that I should have went home and went to bed. Now I have lost my paycheck. I've lost everything in my dignity, everything. All I have to do is go home and go to bed and take this day over again, right? That's it. Go home and go to bed. I'm like, I am. I'm going home and go to bed. But instead, it's a bottle of Jack. And I decide I'm going to drink at you. I'm going to get you. You stole my stuff. Oh, no. Then you made me embarrassed. And now I gotta tell people. You know what I mean? Like, I'm drinking at you. Just go to bed, Iran, but I can't. Because once I start, I cannot stop. Nothing in the world will let me stop. Nothing you say, nothing I do, no embarrassment, no shame, no guilt, no remorse, no pain. Nothing will let me stop, because once I start, I cannot stop. There's nothing in the world that will let me stop. Because I need the effect that is produced by alcohol, and I will chase it until I can't chase it no more. So I went back to my job, you know, embarrassed or whatever, and I worked it. Then all of a sudden they were like, we want our keys back. And I was like, why? I'm doing fantastic. And they're like, you might want to look at your drinking problem. And of course, that, exactly. I was like, gasp. I was like, what? First of all, you need to look at your drinking problem. You need to look at your drug problem. You need to look in the mirror, because I am fantastic, right? Because it's never my fault. It's never, ever, 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 ever my fault. It's somebody else's fault. Right? I will drink at you and I will point the fingers because I am perfect. And so what happened to me was simple. I showed them exactly what kind of drunk I was. I became a homeless bum who pissed on himself, because once I start, I'm not going to stop. And then I did that for a while and I really, really, really tried to stop. But every day I get up and I'm like, I got to do something that will change the way I feel. And a guy like me, like, college educated from a middle class family, a loving, tolerant grandmother, stolen from, still loves me, will send me money on occasion, but I can't get myself together to get off of the streets because it's too hard. Because what's easier is to keep drinking at you. And so one day a friend of mine, he like sees me and he takes me back to his house, and I go to his house and I'm like, there's like a moment of grace. I think sometimes it's always funny. It's like, in hindsight, they always talk about hindsight's 20/20. Yeah, in hindsight, I can, well, can't you just show me the what I'm supposed to see before we get to behind? But if I can't see it in front of me now, behind me, how God works in my life, how the blessings happen, then I won't ever do them, because I know the blessing's true. I have to live through the blessings in order to receive the truth behind it. So for me, it was just simple, right? Like, I went there, my friend, I took a shower, right? And all of a sudden, I'm fresh, right? And I'm like, oh my God. And then I see a book of Alcoholics Anonymous on the shelf. And I'm like, you know what? I didn't do that. I didn't do that last time. Let me read the book, because that's the thing, right? It wasn't the sponsor. It wasn't doing the steps. I just want to let you know, if you're new, I'm going to put this in right now. If you're new, if you don't know, let me explain to you, Alcoholics Anonymous is only one thing. We can say it's five other things. We're not a support group. We're not like a hangout place. We are a 12-step program. All we have to offer are 12 steps. So I would like for you to think about this. If you are in a 12-step program, why are you not doing the 12 steps? That's all we have to offer. That's it. You know what I mean? The rest of this is just like the byproduct of the joy, the byproduct of what happens when we do the 12 steps. But if you're here, do what we do, because that's all we got to offer. That's the only way we know how to get freedom. So I decided I was going to read the book. So I read the book. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm not the kind of person. I thought I was intelligent, but this book is stupid. right? After they've seen tangible results. What are tangible results? Do you know what a tangible result? I didn't know. And then it's like, I don't know about anybody else. Anybody ever know that the beginning of the book is called the preface? Oh, that's how I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, right? It's called the preface. But I was like, I thought I knew some stuff. I learned some stuff in Alcoholics Anonymous. So the preface, right? So I get the book out, and I'm a manager. I don't know about anybody else. I like to manage my life. I manage people today. Sometimes I just wish God would give me a new job. Anyway, but so I started with no one reads the preface, right? Nobody ever reads the preface. Then there's like, who cares about whatever these things are about, right? Forwards, right? Who knows what that is? And then, oh my God, what is this doctor? Who cares about his opinion? Who doesn't even know him? And Bill, who's Bill? Who cares about Bill? I don't even know who you are. Why did you even get a page? Oh, there is the solution. So I just want to let you know I skipped a whole lot of stuff, right? I just skipped a whole lot of stuff. And then they start talking about the boat and the sinking, the camaraderie. I was like, what the fuck? Excuse my language, we're in a church. Amen? Amen. So anyway, but I mean, like, that's the thing, right? Like, I don't know, I'm just going to pick and choose. That's what I did when it came to Alcoholics Anonymous. Sometimes I do that today. I pick and choose. A 12-step program. I don't get to pick and choose the steps. I get to live them. Every time I pick and choose what I'm doing, I'm going to be unmanageable today, but I ain't going to talk to God about it. I get the results of that. Every time I pick and choose, I get the results of the picking and choosing. It's all or nothing. Either he is or he isn't. Either this program is or it is not, right? And so I started reading the book, and I'm one of those people who's super picky, though, right? If I call you, when I call you, you better answer. If you don't, I don't need to talk to you no more. Are we clear? Good. So I say, hey, you, Hiller? Oh, okay. No one's answering. Click. And normally that would be my sign. That's how God talks to me, right? That's my sign. If you don't answer immediately, I'm done. Bye. But I didn't this time. I was like, I was desperate. There was something different about this moment. Because I kept reading a book that I didn't understand about camaraderie. There's a solution. What is the solution? Doesn't tell me. Never tells you the solution. And there's, you know what I mean? They're like, but I'm like trying to read. And I can't figure it out. Then the guy calls me back and he takes me to a meeting. He takes me to this meeting at like 5:30 in the morning in Portland. I just want to let you know, if you go to a meeting early in the morning, I'm proud of you. Thank God for you. Blessings. But I'm going to tell you, you guys are crazier than bed bugs. I just want to let you know, anybody who gets up at 4:03 to go to a meeting at 5:30 in the morning, who's all like, hi, welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous. Have a seat. There's coffee over here, cookies, books back there. Are you okay? Are you new? Y'all are crazy. How are you so chipper? Right? And then, right, then the Swansea of mine said to me once, he goes, have you been to a meeting since you've been sober for a while, early like that? I'm like, all right, God, here's the test, right? Right. So I got to be a good sponsor. So I show up to a meeting really early at 7:00 in Chesapeake, and I get there. And while I'm at the meeting, I get, hi, welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous. What coffee's over there? Are you new? There's literature. Oh my God, do you have a phone list? Why are they so happy? Why? And then I just dawned on me like that. They're doing exactly what Alcoholics Anonymous tells us to do first thing in the morning. They've turned their will and their life over the care of God, as they understand them, first thing first, and none of the rest of the day is their business. Why wouldn't you be happy? That's all we've been chasing, right? And so I was like, all right, but I went to treatment. I don't know about anybody else, but didn't pay attention to the clock. Okay, cool. I was like, all right. Ooh, oh, we got time. All right. So I went to treatment, treatment was really easy for me, right? Like, it was so easy. Let me tell you how easy it was. It was so easy that I think I tried to turn around on the way to treatment like 55 times. You know what I mean? Like, I'm one of those, I changed my mind. It's a good idea. Let me go. Oh, wait a minute. I have time to think about it. Let's turn around. And the guy just kept driving. I'm like, no, come back. No, okay, we're going to go. No, let's go back 55 times. And because of the psychosis that I call, I ran. When I got there, I thought I was the most important person in the treatment facility and that everybody was talking about me. And I had to stay up to listen to what you were talking about me, because I'm that important, right? And whew, that was crazy. And so I just had to lay down. I just needed to lay down. So I laid down. And when I went to bed, this guy, he came into my room. He was a counselor. Now, I want to tell you that what happened this is what I remembered for a very, very long time. And then God gives you moments later. So what I heard was, karate chop into the door. Nobody's coming to see you. And a slam of the door. That's what I heard. What it actually was, hey, no one's coming to see you. What are you going to do? Close. Like, it was that simple. But I mean, of course, my alcoholic mind said, oh my God, I'm so glad. Right? And I'm also gay, so everything's extra dramatic. I don't know why. But it is, like, it is. And then so what happened was I got up and I went downstairs. And every day they read from the big book, right? They just read the book over and over. And we were reading this book, and it was reading this story in the book called Tightrope. And I remember reading the story, and I was like, oh my God, I thought like that. Oh, that guy's gay. Oh, that's cool. And then I was like, oh, the dogs, oh, the dog feces on the floor. Oh, that's how, oh, homeless, oh, peeing, oh my God, like, oh my God. I might be an alcoholic. And for the first time, I knew that I was an alcoholic. And I was like, what do I do? And they were like, well, get a sponsor. So I got a sponsor. Now, I want to tell you that I'm a pickier and choosier, right? But if this guy, listen to this guy, what he said was fantastic. His name was Hank. This guy was brilliant, right? And I went to him and I started talking to him, and he would show up at that treatment facility every single day, and we would read the book, and we started going through those steps right there, right? And then we get up to the 8 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, the 8 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. That's all I was willing to do. 8. That's all I want. I'm out. Bye. I can live now. Feel better, right? Feel better. Let's go. And so I went back home on the 8 steps. I was not going to do any meds because I'm still not wrong. Oh, you better believe I ain't wrong. Right? You know what I'm saying? And so what happened was simple. I decided that it was time to end my life. So because I was living, I wasn't even halfway through. You know, more than half of our steps are in one chapter. Does anyone know what that chapter is? That chapter is called Into Action. It's not Into Thinking. You know? So more than half our steps are in one chapter that tells us that we need to be into action constantly. And when I don't, that's when I got stuck. 8. Right? And so I was like, it's time to kill myself. So I'm so important. God bless this job. I was so important. Like I didn't want my parents to have to ship my body from Oregon all the way back to Virginia. And so what I thought would be a better way was I would come home without telling them and come on the train all the way back to Virginia. And in Richmond, when I got on the plane, on the train, I would take my life by taking a bunch of pills. And I'd arrive in Hampton dead. That's what I bring to the table. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's how I'm bringing it home. So then I obviously don't die. I wake up in the hospital with a sheriff sitting down, making sure they take me to the regional Riverside in Hampton. I get there. I'm like, I don't know what to do, God. What do I do, God? I don't know what to do now. What are we going to do? So I call my mom. My mom answers the phone. I don't know about you. Like, I never answer the phone if I don't know the number, right? My mom gets the phone number. She answers the phone, and I'm like, hi, mom, it's me. And she goes, I ran into you in Virginia. I'm like, yeah. So what happened was I tried to kill myself. It didn't work. And can I stay with you? That's what I bring to the table. I don't think that there's nothing wrong with what I'm doing. But I, like, that's how I am. And so she let me stay with her, and I remember this. This is, like, the worst, probably the worst time of my life, like worse than drinking on the streets, like this year without any solution, walking around with my head down in pain. Like, but I knew I could only answer yes, no, or maybe. Like, I couldn't answer anything else because I knew if you made me laugh, I'd get drunk. If you made me cry, I'd get drunk. And if you were cute, I was definitely getting drunk. You know what I mean? Like, it was just like one of those things. Like, I could not do anything more than that. So I walked around like that, and my mom was just in pain. She had to watch her child walk around like that without anything. And I remember, like, all of a sudden, like, my mind's in magnificent things. They kind of woke up, right? And I'm like, oh, maybe I should go do AA. So I started doing AA, right? And I'm like, let me go through all 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. So I go through all 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. Oh my God, I start making amends. I start living my life. I'm helping people. I'm driving around. I'm doing everything that I'm supposed to be doing in Alcoholics Anonymous. And my life gets good. And then here's the clicker. I'm like sitting on this thing with this 9th step, right? that I was never, ever, ever, never, never going to do. And it was just sitting on my heart. And I'm all like, I'll tell you this about me real quick before I go back into the story. Like, I was raised Baptist. And at an early age, I loved the spirituality of church. I loved God, the worshiping. I loved all of that, the music, the things that went along with it. But I was told I was going to hell. So I lived that way for a long time. So coming into Alcoholics Anonymous as a guy who was never going to deal with God again or work, be a part of that anymore, I just couldn't do that. Like, it was a really hard place for me. And a lot of times, it was just like, how can I do this? And it talks about that in the book. Like, I have to set aside the old ideas that I have, right? Set aside the old ideas. And you guys say crazy things. Why do you guys always say something crazy? Like, God can be a doorknob. That's stupid. Just, if you don't know that stupid, it's stupid. It's stupid. Until I was 3 years sober, though, right? I walk out my door. I turn the doorknob fell off of my hand. I said, I get it. I get it. Every time I locked that door, I had faith that I was going to be okay. I could walk around my house naked. I could lay down and have peace. My things were going to be okay. My dog was going to be here. Faith in a doorknob that every time it was locked, I was going to be taken care of. It was blind, unconditional faith. Every time, as soon as it fell apart, I was like, oh my God. And I realized that's all Alcoholics Anonymous has ever had me do. I have faith in a lot of things. I had faith in drinking that it would change the way I feel. I had faith that everything I did, the drinking, the drugs, the lifestyle I was living, what I was doing, I had faith in a lot of things, but I never had faith in God. Because people tried to tell me how to have faith in God. And Alcoholics Anonymous has always just shown me how to build a faith with God. So after that, I had this thing. Like, I don't want to go, okay. So I'm going to go. So I had stolen someone's identity, right? Put power in their name. Nobody knew. Okay, let's go, right? And then, so I'm talking over, and then all of a sudden, I'm like, I gotta do something about this. So I call the Norfolk Police Department, and I say, hello, I've stolen this person's identity. I put power in their name. This is all the information. I'm here to turn myself in. And the Norfolk Police Department said this, the weirdest thing I've ever heard the Norfolk Police Department say to me ever in their life. They're like, there's nothing we can do about that unless they press charges. Have a good day. I was like, let it go. Yeah. Woo-woo. You know how I gotta go. My sponsor is so ridiculous. So, I mean, like, sponsorship is important. It's important, but he was a little ridiculous. He was like, why don't we write them a letter? So we wrote them a letter. Then they press charges, and then I go turn myself in, and then I'm back out, right? Now, they were like, let's get 7 months. The prosecutor was like, give them 7 months. Because, you know, I'm a good citizen. Anybody who sleeps on the street and tell you they're a good citizen, you know exactly what kind of street. So I was a good citizen of the world, right? And so 7 months, I'm like, let's do it. I ain't done more than 30 days in my life. You know what I mean? But I'm like, I'm ready to do 7 months. Thank God it's fun. And I'm like, let's do it. And so I'm about to do it. And my sponsor does crazy things. Like, he goes, well, why don't we go to the end and see what God has in store? What? Go to the end? What does that mean? Because, you know, when I think of going to the end to see what God has in store, it's like going to DMV. Have you ever been to DMV? You go to DMV, right? You get up there and the lady's like, oh, everything's right, but this paperwork needs to go over here first and then come back. All right, so I go over there, I come back, right? I'm staying in a line, right? I come up to the front, she's like, stamp. Now, here's your ticket, J4, have a seat. Now, M's, R's, K's are running through. They were 5 miles behind me. They still going. I'm like, 3 hours later. Everybody's gone, I'm still waiting. They've been on J2 for 2 hours. Do you know what I mean? There's only one. I just need to, can I get? I just wanna go, right? That's the catch. It is like going to DMV. This game is about, I want what I want when I want it. It's about patience. And the worst part is I already know the outcome. And that's still not good enough for me. It's never good enough for me. Even if I already know, all I'm gonna do is walk up there and get my thing. She's gonna take my picture and get me out, right? But because it's not my time, I'm not willing to wait for. It's the same thing about Alcoholics Anonymous. When I first came to Alcoholics, I wanted to feel better immediately on my time. It's a patience game. It's a long game. Like, it's the funny thing is, like, I spent a long time drinking, but I want to be sober yesterday. I didn't get drunk, become a real alcoholic until later down. You know what I mean? But I want to be a real sober person 2 days ago. I'm still drinking 2 days ago. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I bring to the table all the time. So I go in and I go in to my court date and we're standing in front of the judge. Judge's like, so let me get this straight, Mr. Parker. You, social with identity, you turned yourself in and now you're here to make it right. And I'm like, yes, Your Honor. She goes, I don't know what to do with you. And I go, most people don't. Sometimes you should shut up. But I don't. I can't help it. I just talk. And then she giggled, so we were all right. And then she was like, I'm not going to give him 7 months. My lawyer wanted to give me 1 year probation. I'm not doing that either. I'm going to give him 30 days because I want him back out doing whatever he is doing. I want him back out there doing it. And that's a direct result of Alcoholics Anonymous, though, right? That's the direct result of doing the 12 steps and following through the program of Alcoholics Anonymous and doing what is asked of me to do, in spite of how I feel, in spite of what I think, but just taking the actions and walking through the process knowing that faith is on the other side, right? And so we get there to the other side of that, and I go to turn myself in at 2 weeks. I was supposed to be out by Christmas, by my birthday, and by my home group's anniversary. It's not a big deal, right? I got to have Thanksgiving out. I was going to still be out by Christmas. It's going to be a fantastic time, right? And so I go to turn myself in. Paperwork wasn't right. Go to turn myself in again a couple days later. Paperwork still wasn't right. I go to turn myself in a third time. The paperwork still wasn't right. I then looked at my sponsor and said, what does it take for a black man to get arrested in Virginia? Because it seems to be a lot harder than I'm saying. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't make sense. Like, I was like, what's going on? But now, right, my plans, my designs are being ruined. Christmas is now being ruined. My birthday is now being ruined. My home group's anniversary is now being ruined. Everything that I planned and designed is now being ruined. Why? Why does he always do this to me, right? So, fourth time I go and turn myself in, I'm in. I go, and then the first person I meet was this guy who's got sober in prison. He was doing his last bit of time right there in Virginia Beach jail. And so we started chatting about Alcoholics Anonymous. And then he got moved, right? And they were painting one of the wings, and then they moved people back over. And we had a lot of space, and they brought this kid in. And when they brought this kid in, you could smell him. He was just like, oh, drunk and blah, blah, blah. Every single space had an open space. But they put him in my cell. And we started chatting. He thought if he stopped drinking and driving, it would solve his problem. But drinking and driving wasn't his problem. He realized that drinking and fighting was his problem. And he was like, I think drinking's my problem. And I'm like, ah! And so then I realized at that moment, I have been really equipped to have this conversation. And I'm like, God. This was never about me. That's the thing about God. It's like, it's never about me. He prepares me for what he needs me for. Every moment of that, all I had to do was show up. I came when the call was ready. I did the thing. We started reading books. 2 books of Alcoholics Anonymous arrived in our cell. We started going through the book of Alcoholics Anonymous right there in the cell. That man went off to treatment after that, and he's still sober that I know of. I don't know. I haven't talked to him in a minute. I'll have to check on that. And then, but I'm all like, but there we are, right? And I get out of there. At that moment, God gave me this fantastic. He gave me a job. He gave me a career. He handed me my own business and said, here's all the equipment for free. Have a good day. Go take care of it and cultivate it. This is the things that happen, right? Not because I was a good boy. It was not because I was a good boy. That's what I would tell you, like, I was a good boy, so he gave me everything I needed. No. I have to cultivate that. It's tough, too. I have to remember that God gave me those things. You know, I'm a guy who believes that God was going to condemn me to hell, but I'm a guy who has a relationship with God that says that has never been the process. My relationship with God today is one of the most, my most emphatically, in fact, I wish to say, is the most important part of my life. God has changed every bit of my thoughts, my happiness, my joy, my love. in everything in my life. You know, he's changed a lot. And he put me through, some action last year. My that just made me like get so close to him that I can't even remember like why I was so far away, you know? So I go to work one day. So I go to work one day, right? And I go to work, and my boss is a funny guy. It's his company, right? I'm the GM of his store, and he's like I'm stealing, blah 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 blah. Oh, you're stealing? And I'm on my way to work, and normally when I get to work, this is what happens. I go to work, and I spend about 5 to 10 minutes in my car. I check my emails. I do the stuff. Da da da. Then I go into my store, and I get myself together, right? Well, this day he was there, so my character defects, right, got me out of that car. Running in the store. I go to the store, I pick on him and laugh. Me and him both walk outside, and boom, my car is on fire. And I'm like, what's going on? Right? I'm like looking, oh my God. And I'm like looking, and then in that car is like my DJ equipment, my freaking car, like everything that I love was in that car, including my, right? It's on fire. And I'm like looking at it, and I'm like in awe. Like I'm like everything, and I'm like, oh my God. And then I just take this breath and I go, all right, God, what are we gonna do here? Yeah, like, I don't know, but I don't know what to do, right? I just don't know what to do. And then what happened was really weird for me. Like, after the car's on fire, the fire department comes and put it out. They told me that I would have been locked in the car if I would have been in there when it went up. With no way out. See, they talk about the character defects, God, I have every piece of defective character that stands in the way of my usefulness to you, right? And I used to think that means I want to be perfect today. Now it means let me be real. Because I need character defects in order for God to use me. I'll tell you what I mean. Like, I have a problem with some sex every once in a while, right? I mean, I got on these apps, right? I get on these apps, Grindr, and I'm on the app, right? And so I'm on the app, and I'm like on the app, and I'm searching, and I'm like realizing, da da da, and then somebody hits, right? And then we start chatting and talking, and we meet up, and then they're like talking about their drinking, or they're talking about, and I haven't even brought it up. And then I'm like, all right, God, here we go. You want to go to a meeting? You know what I mean? Like this happens all the time. So the thing about character defects that I think I used to want, I wanted to be perfect and pure. What I just want to be is useful, which means that sometimes I've got to be a little greedy so that he can use me the way he needs to, so that I can help. I can help God do what he wants to do, which is usually help his children, you know? And so after the car was on fire, and they told me that I would have been in it. Like this guy that was taking a picture from the, there was people in the building watching it from down. The bank was watching it from here. And me and my boss are watching it from here. And we're like, ah! And so I saw the bank footage, but this guy saw the front footage. And he said, he showed me and we were chatting because we had a fire drill after that, like a week later, I wonder why. Anyway, so we had a fire, right? And we have a fire drill. And so we're talking. And so as he's talking to me, he said something that I just didn't even catch. He's like, he goes, it was like, I watched you. You were like in awe of what was happening. But before the fire was out, you were just laughing and having a good time. You were being your usual self. Because that's amazing. And I go, oh, that's God. That's the God in me. Because normally I'd have been like, woe is me. I don't know. Why did God hate me? I was like, all right, God. You know what I mean? But that's God. And there it is. You know, like that moment when I realized that God uses me for what he needs me to be used for. Character defects and all. I gotta be willing to try to work for something different. And so what happened was real simple, right? That car caught on fire, which the insurance I didn't have the right insurance to cover the fire, right? Because that just usually happens. And so, you know what I mean? Not like the one way in. And then what happens, I got a gift, I got a car shipped in from Texas, right? Car, I was with it, had it for 1 month. It had some weird engine thing that a metal got into the engine, destroyed it. It was the most random thing in the whole entire world, right? So then I'm like, so I go get another car. This is not, right? I think I got a car problem. So I get a car, right? And then normally they tell you with the insurance, like, you know, they switch your insurance over, right, before you leave. They didn't do that. I forgot about it. 3 days later, I remembered I'm on the phone with the insurance company and hit a car. I was like, oh my God. I was like, God. I'm just bawling. And then I yell. I'm like, God, you are making this hard. Woo! And I'm like, God. But what he did was he opened up a door for me. He opened up a door because I didn't realize. All of a sudden, here's some money that me and my ex-husband had that we both forgot about. It's all here, right here. So I was like, let me pay off that car. Let me go take care of this. And it's all like, all right, God, I'm sorry for yelling. No, I'm not, because I get to be real with God. He already knows my heart. There's no sense in being like, God, this is hard. It's hard. Sometimes it's just hard because it's life. Sometimes it's freeing because it's life. Sometimes we just have to work because it's life. And if you choose to live today, like I've chosen to live today, it will be work. But there will be real, actual comfort. So if you're new, please find someone who's properly armed with the facts about themselves. This means that they know that once they start, they cannot stop, and they have a mind that will constantly get them drunk, who's willing to take you through the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, which I have found to be in the book named Alcoholics Anonymous, One Step at a Time. Thank you guys so much for having me, and you have a great day.
Iran, thank you.